The following program is being brought to you on the Voice America Business Channel. For more information about our network and to check our additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericabusiness.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.
Monday morning. Welcome to Let's Talk Sales to Increase Your Income with Len and Jack. You had fun this weekend, right? Let's take some of that fun and apply it to sales. You'll hear the good, the bad, and even the ugly side of the sales field. And our goal is to make you the most effective sales professional you can be. Now, here are your hosts, Len DiNocenzo and Jack Cullen.
And good morning, everybody. This is Len DiNocenzo, speaking to you from Andover, Massachusetts. I'm joined, as always, with my partner, Jack Cullen. Jack, say good morning to the folks.
Hey, everybody. Hope you had an absolutely great, fantastic weekend, and thanks for joining us today.
Yeah, and we hope if you're following the basketball tournament, we hope your team is alive and well in the brackets and the Sweet 16 are on the way. So we're really excited about our program this morning. The subject is time and priority management. And really, folks, this is a subject that's going to be of interest to everybody that's on the line, whether you're a veteran sales performer or brand new rookie to sales or just tuning in to listen in general. We all face that same dilemma. There's too much to do, it seems, and just not enough time to get it done. So we're really excited to have Susan Cullen is our guest this morning. Susan was with us just a few weeks ago and did the program on Learned Optimism. Susan, you want to say good morning to everybody?
Hello, everyone. Good morning, and it's a pleasure to be with you today.
And Susan, we are really excited to have you back. Folks, Susan is the president of Quantum Learning Solutions, and she's here today to talk about this subject, time management. For almost 20 years, Quantum Learning Solution has really been involved in developing people and developing their skills as it relates around management and specifically as it relates around the subject of time and priority management. And Susan's clients range from the Fortune 500 companies to smaller organizations, anybody really that's looking to improve that personal effectiveness. And Susan, we are just delighted to have you with us this morning. As we understand it, it's really the time, not the activities, that seem to be our limiting factor. So I guess our audience are like most salespeople that are out there. We've got to make some tough choices about what to do and, more importantly, what not to do. So we're delighted to have you here this morning, Susan.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be with you. I'm looking forward to it.
Well, great. And you know, kind of picking up where we left off when you were our guest just a few weeks ago and talking about optimism, maybe we could kick it off and I could just ask you a question as it relates to somebody's attitude. How does somebody's attitude really come into play, you know, as they're trying to manage their time more effectively?
Great. Thanks, Len. It's a great question. And you may remember that when we did our last show together on Learned Optimism, we talked about some research that's really very compelling that mentioned how much more money salespeople who are optimistic make than others and how they really outperform just kind of the majority of salespeople. And this is the same type of case when it comes to time management. Just as we know that the research is there for optimistic salespeople, we know that people who believe they can control their time feel more in control. They feel less a victim of time. They get more done. So they feel better, and they get more done, and there's just a lot less stress. And I don't know about you guys, but I think probably for all of our listeners, as well as all of us today, that's something we're all looking for. How can we have more stress and be more productive at the same time?
Well, I'll tell you, reducing stress, there's just so much of it in almost every aspect of our life.
So true.
That is really so true. Well, great, great. I'm looking forward to this topic today.
You know, I do want to mention to all of our listeners that as we're, you know, having the discussion today, if something pops into your mind, you have a comment or a specific question to ask Susan, just drop an email to sales@crkinteractive.com. we'll read it, and with time allowing, we'll get to it while we're on the air here today. So let's, Susan, if I could, you know, we know sometimes that time management is referred to as self-management. Do you see this as being true, and maybe share an example or two for our listeners?
Sure, Jack. You know, we all do have the same amount of time. It's really not about not having enough. It's about arranging our priorities to spend time on those things that are the most important things. And I think that one of the biggest challenges we have today is actually technology. I mean, if you think about it, it has made our life easier, but we have so much coming to us today because of emails, text messaging, cell phones. So it's easier for us to stay connected, but the challenge is it makes everything urgent. You know, that text message is coming in right now. And it becomes almost addictive. And, you know, we see that, you know, people take their BlackBerries with them everywhere. I'll tell you, yesterday I was at the gym, and I saw someone on the treadmill sending an email on their BlackBerry. And I thought, you know, this is really getting to be too much. And last week or two, I wrote a blog article called Six Startling Statistics Regarding Time Management. And one of the things that was in that article was that AOL had done a study, and they found that more than 50% of people say they check their emails on vacation, and that most of that comes from people who are using some type of mobile device. So my guess is, and this study was done last year, my guess is that's going to just keep growing, and it's probably even higher than that now. So to get back to your question, Jack, about it really being self-management, it really takes a lot of discipline to turn off all of that and to focus on those things that are most important, the things that are highest leverage things that bring the greatest results. And that's really where self-management comes into play.
Well, it certainly requires a lot of discipline. And I guess at the end of the day, it really comes down to, do we want to be in a reactive mode and a slave to the technology that you referenced, or do we want to be in a proactive mode? And I'm sure we'll be talking more about that as we go forward.
Right.
I have to plead guilty on checking email while on vacation.
You and so many of the rest of us.
Well, you know, Susan, we hear oftentimes salespeople complaining that they just don't have enough time for all of the activities that their management is expecting them to do. And, you know, we've also heard the similar kind of things from entrepreneurs that are out there. Everybody's challenged by what, you know, seems to be a lack of time. Well, would you share for our listeners some of your thoughts on this area, please?
Well, you know, I love the quote that says, the wisdom in life is in eliminating the non-essentials. And if we're really honest about it, we know we are never going to get it all done. And striving for perfection is just going to make us all nuts. It's not going to really happen. So it goes back to this whole topic again of priority management. And I think that one of the most important things to do is to identify your three top priorities for each week and then decide how long it's going to take you to accomplish those things. And then schedule time with yourself. Actually make an appointment with yourself so that you make it more urgent. And that's, you know, a really critical part of it. You guys are familiar with the 80-20 rule, I'm sure.
Sure.
You know, in a sales arena, people talk about, you know, 80% of your sales come from 20% of your customers. When it goes to time management, we know that 80% of our results come from 20% of our activities. So the key is to go back and look at what are those high leverage activities. And, you know, going back to this whole challenge about entrepreneurs and salespeople feeling as if they don't have enough time, I think the bottom line is that managers and entrepreneurs are interested primarily in results. And if you're focused on the key things that are going to help you get there and spend your time on those key things, you'll be more successful. And for the salespeople out there who feel that you're doing things that maybe don't lead to your highest leverage results, I'd encourage you to talk to your sales manager and talk about, you know, how much time you have and where you should be spending your time. I mean, it always is a good idea to make sure you and your manager are in alignment. But most importantly, focus on those things that are going to bring you the results you want.
And, you know, Susan, that suggestion that you made about identifying your top three priorities for the week, that is just good, solid advice. I really think that our listeners would benefit quite a bit if they aren't doing something like that, to start doing that immediately. It's Monday morning, so it's a good opportunity for them to do that.
Absolutely.
You know, and I'm reminded of something that roughly a month ago when Coach Lou Holtz was on the show, you know, his one of his many messages was, you know, to be sure that we know what's important now for us to be doing. And certainly if we have the benefit of clearly defined goals and objectives for a specific period of time, that's going to help us to be sure that we are doing, you know, what's important now. Susan, we know that the one tool that you've used over the years in working with clients that really want to improve their time and priority management skills is called the Time Mastery Profile. Can you please share some insight into what that's all about with our listeners, please?
Sure, Jack. I mean, let's face it. We're not all the same, and we don't all have the same strengths, and we don't all have the same challenges when it comes to time management. So the reason that we use this profile, and I like it so much, is that it helps us individualize it to each person based on their own unique strengths and challenges. The profile helps address time mastery skill in 12 areas. So, you know, those are things like attitudes, which basically means do you feel you can control your time, how well you set goals. One of my favorite ones is how well do you prioritize your time? And then do you analyze it or at least have a good idea of where it's going? Planning in general is always a key thing. How well do you schedule your day? There's a great section on interruptions. Do you find yourself constantly being interrupted and letting yourself be interrupted? And as well as how do you do in meetings? You know, are you managing your time in meetings well? Also, one of my favorite ones is on written communication. So it goes back to this whole idea about emails again. Delegation, procrastination, and how well do you manage the time of your team? So it's really looking at those 12 categories. And we know that a lot of those categories, Jack and Lynn, they're impacted by each other. Many, you know, one category is going to impact another category. But we've been doing this for so long, and that over the years we found that there are, I think, four that stand out as the most common ones. The first one that I think is the biggest challenge we see kind of as a trend is priority setting. And I think that's where the biggest payoff is once you get good at that. Also, we see that not enough people are setting goals well, that a lot of people don't delegate when when they need to. And last but not least, I was going to put this one off, but I might as well mention it, procrastination.
You were waiting on that one.
Yeah,
huh?
I was waiting on that one till the end. But that's a really common one, actually, in the workforce. We see a lot of people on that. So one of the things we like about this profile, and I don't want to forget to mention, it only takes 10 minutes to do, so it's quick and easy, but it's actually a really in-depth workbook with a lot of good tips for each of those areas, and it enables each person to really individualize for themselves what they need to do to become a master of their time.
Well, it is a tool that has served salespeople well as folks in general that are interested in getting onto this topic, this time mastery profile. And for our listeners, feel free, please, Susan's website, www.quantumlearn.com, if you wanted to find out a little bit more about that time mastery profile and anything else that Susan is up to here. We're going to be going into a break, and I'd like to give you, as usual, one of our fun facts. And
fun
Lynn
fact
just mentioned
of the week.
What's that?
The fun fact of the week.
The fun fact of the week. Lynn just mentioned the Sweet 16 is down to the NCAA National Championship, and here's our fun fact, and it does relate to basketball. Which basketball maneuver became illegal in college basketball rules in 1968, and then was reinstated in 1977 to be legal again? So from 68 to 77, it was illegal to do this in college basketball. Shoot us an email if you think you know the answer. sales@crkinteractive.com. We'll be right back.
The market's up or down, or if you're looking to improve your portfolio, our experts are ready to talk to you. Call now, toll free, 866-472-5790. That's 866-472-5790. Voice America Business Network.
Lynn DiNocenzo and Jack Cullen are founders and principals of CRK Interactive.
They started their sales training and development business in 1988, aimed at improving sales productivity for their clients. Over 20 years later, they have worked effectively with companies in a wide variety of industries and been successful in meeting that objective. Len and Jack developed their customer-focused programs that help salespeople, sales managers, and customer service reps become more effective. Over the years, happy clients have included a broad range of organizations of all sizes, from Fortune 500 companies to small and medium-sized firms. For more information, email sales at crkinteractive.com or visit them on the web at www.crkinteractive.com. Explore the possibilities to maximize your sales team's productivity. Now's the perfect time to invest in your sales team to help them compete more effectively. Let the proven sales coaches at CRK Interactive help you tap into your sales team's full potential. Send Len and Jack an email at sales at crkinteractive.com today. Your sales team and your future customers will be glad you did.
When it comes to business, you'll find the experts here. Voice America Business Network.
You're listening to Let's Talk Sales to Increase Your Income with Len and Jack. If you have a comment or question about our program, please send an email to sales at crkinteractive.com. That's sales at crkinteractive.com. Now, let's get back to Len and Jack.
Well, welcome back. Again, we're thrilled to be joined by a time mastery expert and actually management consultant expert in general, Susan Cullen. Susan, again, thanks for being with Len and I today. We really appreciate it.
My pleasure.
And we have to give our answer to our fun fact.
Well, I've been racking my brain on this one, Jack. I'm at a loss.
Well, I have to admit, we're getting a couple of emails in from some folks that seem to consider themselves basketball aficionados as it relates to the college hoops game. And I do see that we actually have one response from Jonathan out in Scottsdale, Arizona, that is absolutely on the money. Congratulations to Jonathan. I think we got about 10 other responses that weren't even close, but we won't bother to mention your name. The basketball maneuver that became illegal in college basketball rules in 1968 was dunking the basketball, and it was reinstated as being legal in 1977. Len, I can safely say that either whether it was legal or illegal, it really didn't have anything to do with the basketball game that I ever played, but that's another story.
I'll tell you, that's a pretty good fun fact. That may get you some money sometime and
yeah.
With some of your friends.
There you go.
Come up with that one. Well, why don't we get back to our interview with Susan. I think she's... Susan, you've really provided the listeners already with some really, really good tips, and we're just starting our program. So we have an email from Emma in Pennsylvania, Jack, your home state, and Emma says, I've been in sales 10 years and have taken two time management classes that wanted me to do so many things, like creating lists of exactly what activities I did during the day and specifically how long they took. Emma says, frankly, I didn't have the time to do all of it.
I can relate.
Yeah. You know what, Emma, I can relate as well. And, you know, it's really funny because the irony of all of this is that most of us can relate and don't have the time to take a time management class. And actually, you know, it's interesting because we started getting those types of comments, you know, years ago from many of our clients. And so we created something that we thought would fit into their world in a very targeted way and could be done in less time. But if you're doing the right things in the right way, it can actually, again, as we're talking about, conserve time. So what we did is we created live virtual online classes. In other words, there's an instructor, we're talking to each other, we're online, people see the PowerPoint on the computer. But it actually has three steps to it. The first one is that people take the Time Mastery Profile as pre-work before the class starts, the profile that, you know, Jack and I were just talking about. And then the class itself is 90 minutes online, live, interacting with their instructor. And people are asked at the end of that 90-minute class to identify 1 to 2 activities that, if done well, would make the biggest difference for them. So, again, we're going back to that 80-20 rule. So once they identify what the thing is are that would have make the biggest difference for them. We ask them to be accountable for that, to set a goal for that. Everybody types that in text chat so we can see what it is. And then we have a 60-minute reinforcement session 3 to 4 weeks after the class. Now, the reason that this works is that I think that a lot of people might go to a time management class that maybe is even longer than this, but there's not a reinforcement follow-up session.
And that's so big, isn't it? That reinforcement and follow-up is such a big element, isn't it?
It's so critical, and especially when it comes to time management, because time management is really self-management. It's about habit change. And it's not about doing everything perfectly. It's about doing the one or two things that make the biggest difference. So when people are held accountable for that and they come back for the reinforcement session, I'll tell you, it's very rewarding for us to hear the things that people do and hear them talk about how other people have noticed what they've done. So the funniest thing of all, though, is of all of our live virtual classes, Lynn, time management is the most popular one, and the main reason is just, Emma, what you were saying, is people know they need time management, but they don't have the time to take a class.
Well, so, and I think this is just a great comment and great information, and folks, if you're looking for a little bit more information on these classes on time management, you can go to Susan's website at quantumlearn.com, and you can gather more information on that. Susan, thank you very much. I got to tell you, it's probably the best 2.5 hour investment of time that our people can make to help and improve themselves in this area.
Right. It really makes a difference.
So if time is broken into these 12 categories, that makes it perhaps, easier to improve. So for sales professionals, do you think that some of these categories are more important than others to work on, Susan, being it such a results-oriented world that, you know, sales professionals operate within?
Right. Good question, Jack. You know, for salespeople, I think that a lot of it is setting goals and being really clear on your priorities. And if you just think about it for our listeners today, you know, when you think about what are the most important activities that bring the biggest return on time for a salesperson, that's going to be things like, you know, prospecting effectively, sales call planning, making sales presentations, and then really building relationships with prospects and showing they can trust you. And I know that, you know, those are things that you talk about a lot on this show. But and then one of the key things is that during those sales presentations, identifying what the customer's most important priorities are and their real needs. So I know that that's something that you and Lynn talk a lot about and are real experts on. And I think those are probably the most important things for salespeople to do, to focus on their own priorities and their customers' priorities.
Well, I think that certainly Lynn and I would agree very, very much, you know, with that. The challenge for a lot of salespeople, based on our experience, as well as just our own makeup as well, is, you know, we'd rather be doing something than planning to do something. And, you know, Lynn, I know you could certainly relate to that as well. And, you know, it really is the type of thing that, you know, if salespeople could recognize just anything that we can do to be less reactive and more proactive, and the only way to do that really is to focus on the types of things that you were just, you know, talking about. But as soon as a lot of us hear the word planning, okay, turn off. But the fact of the matter is that it's critically important. It may not be urgent to plan, but it certainly, you know, can be really, really important.
And if you're planning around the key things, so planning your next sales call and knowing what your client's needs are, that's high leverage time.
Susan, we got an email from a guy in Chicago who is a sales manager, and the guy has a dilemma. Guy is saying that some of his salespeople find themselves busy, and Guy believes that the problem that they might seem too busy is that they are a little too reactive in his mind. Would you share some of your thoughts or any suggestions that you might have for how somebody might deal with that issue of being a little too reactive?
Sure, I'd be happy to. And I'm guessing that Guy heard what you just said, Jack, about, you know, finding people being too reactive, and
yeah,
and you know, can identify with that. And I think that that Guy, as a sales manager, what you really want to do is discuss with your salespeople what their most important activities are. And you know your product and your industry. I'd encourage you to ask yourself you know, what are the key things that, if done well, would have the biggest impact on your salespeople's ability to sell? And then once you've really identified what those things are, you want to train them and coach them on those most critical things. And, you know, remember that mastery takes time and it's got to consistently be reinforced. So that's one of the things, Guy, that you're going to want to just make sure you stay on top of with your people and make sure that they're not, you know, falling by the wayside and doing those things that aren't really their highest leveraged activities.
Well, and Susan, you know, to a point that you made a little bit earlier in the show, you know, being able to prioritize, you know, those important activities that you have to make sure you get done, I think, are certainly going to help Guy and Guy's team in that area.
Right.
Well, and you know, certainly that sales manager should be a go-to resource in terms of, you know, if what we're trying to do here is really help our sales teams, then, you know, folks need to be approachable as leaders, as sales managers. And so, Guy, not just you, but, you know, the rest of our listeners that may be sales managers or entrepreneurs with people that are part of their own companies, yeah, you want to be approachable and be accessible to people to help them in this area as well as any others. We have another email, and this one, a comment that I made earlier prompted Janet in Dallas, Texas, to shoot off a quick question. She'd like to ask if you have any suggestions, Susan, for distinguishing between activities that are urgent and, you know, maybe not that important, or, you know, sometimes they may be both.
You know, that's a great question, Janet. And, you know, that's a situation, it's a challenge that I think impacts all of us. You know, trying to discern what's really different between what's really urgent and what's really important. And so the key thing is that it's all urgent. You know, the emails are coming in, the phone is ringing, you're getting a text message. It's not hard to identify what's urgent. It's just that the urgent things force out the important things. And the key thing is to make sure you're on track with the important things. So I actually put a sticky note on my monitor that says, how important is this activity now? And I think, Jack, you mentioned that that's, what's important now is something that Lou Holtz talked about in one of your previous shows.
Right.
I think that's a key question to always be asking yourself every day and be thinking about it throughout the day. And this is especially difficult to do if you haven't identified what your top three key priorities for the week are, because if you don't know what's really the most important thing, you're just not going to stay on track as well. So to keep going back to that and thinking about that, with that said, you know, if we just are face what's happening in the real world, there's always going to be unexpected things come up, and people are going to need things that you didn't anticipate. So you've got to have some flexibility in this. We've all got fires that we have to put out all day long. But if you keep going back and asking yourself that question, how important is this, and you know what your key priorities are for the week, it's really going to help you stay on track, Janet. So I just encourage you to keep going back to that and evaluating what's important throughout your day.
I think that visual reminder, and maybe an abbreviation of WIN, what's important now, you know, can really help Janet as well as our other listeners stay on target to be sure that you're getting to those activities that really are critically important to you. We're going to be coming back with our guest, Susan Cullen, after a short break, and Len and I look forward to joining back up with you.
Whether the market's up or down, or if you're looking to improve your portfolio, our experts are ready to talk to you. Call now, toll free, 866-472-5790. That's 866-472-5790. Voice America Business Network.
Len DiNocenzo and Jack Cullen are founders and principals of CRK Interactive. They started their sales training and development business in 1988, aimed at improving sales productivity for their clients. Over 20 years later, they have worked effectively with companies in a wide variety of industries and been successful in meeting that objective. Len and Jack developed their customer-focused programs that help salespeople, sales managers, and customer service reps become more effective. Over the years, happy clients have included a broad range of organizations of all sizes, from Fortune 500 companies to small and medium-sized firms. For more information, email sales@crkinteractive.com or visit them on the web at www.crkinteractive.com. Explore the possibilities to maximize your sales team's productivity. Now's the perfect time to invest in your sales team to help them compete more effectively. Let the proven sales coaches at CRK Interactive help you tap into your sales team's full potential. Send Len and Jack an email at sales@crkinteractive.com today. Your sales team and your future customers will be glad you did.
From the boardroom to you, Voice America Business Network.
You're listening to Let's Talk Sales to Increase Your Income with Len and Jack. If you have a comment or question about our program, please send an email to sales@crkinteractive.com. That's sales@crkinteractive.com. Now, let's get back to Len and Jack.
And we're back. This is Len DiNincenzo along with Jack Cullen and our guest this week, Susan Cullen. And we're talking about time and priority management. And Susan, I've got a question for you from myself, so maybe you can help me on this one.
Okay.
I look at my work time and I look at my personal time. And so my question is, how important is it for me or for any of our listeners to treat, you know, our time at work and then time in the other areas of our lives as two separate issues? Or would that be, you know, maybe a less effective way of doing this?
Thanks for that question, Len. You know, you're not alone in that challenge. In fact, we all face that. And as we're moving faster and faster today, and we have more and more information coming at us, and we have more and more work coming at us, it's a challenge that we all face. And actually, you know, our personal lives impact our work lives and vice versa. So, you know, a good example is health. You know, if you don't feel well, you're not going to be productive at work. And if we don't take the time to take care of ourselves, we're not, you know, we'll eventually burn out. And that's counterproductive. So it's going to impact, you know, personal life, physical health is going to impact our work. The same with our families. You know, if you're having problems in one area, it's going to impact other areas as well. So, and work can impact family life. It goes both ways. So I think, you know, it doesn't make sense to keep them as two separate issues. You know, we're total human beings impacted by all those things. But I think the key thing, and this is a really, really important one, and that is to be clear on what your goals and priorities are for all areas of your life. So what your priorities are for your health, what your priorities are for your family, what your priorities are for the other things in life that are important to you. And to identify what's most important to you and what you need to do to get you there. And then do those things. Because nobody wants at the end of their life to feel as if they were not satisfied at how they lived it. And this is probably one of the most important things. And you know, we don't want to spend all our time chasing after the things that really aren't as important to us in the long run. So,
well, that's great advice, and I can relate to it. And, you know, I recall something that somebody said to me a while back, that nobody was ever lying on their deathbed wishing they had spent just a little bit more time at the office, right?
That's so true. And, you know, we are conditioned to set goals for sales. We're conditioned to set goals for how many new clients we want to bring in. But people don't always think about setting goals for themselves in all areas of their life. And once you get clear on what that is, it helps you get clear on what your priorities are. So, good point, Lynn.
Yeah. I'm looking at an email here from one of our listeners that I guess joined the show midstream and is just saying, I think I heard some mention of a time mastery profile. You know, what were we talking about? And Susan was just pointing out that it's a self-assessment that's available from her online. Takes 15 or 20 minutes to answer the questions, and then I guess you get a personalized report. And again, if you want to find out more about that time mastery assessment, www.quantumlearn.com, and at Susan's website, and you can get more information. So let's see, another question that I'm looking at, and Susan would love to have you share your thoughts on this. for our listeners, as far as your personal experience and ideas for both planning as well as scheduling, and I know in this time mastery profile, those are treated as two separate categories.
Well, they are two separate categories, but again, like so many of them, they're all interrelated. I can just speak from my own personal experience. I know that if I don't spend some time either at the end of the day on Friday or first thing on Monday morning planning what my most critical priorities are for that week and deciding when am I going to do them, if I don't do that, then I'm just going to get caught up in all the urgent emails and everything else that's coming at me. And by the end of the week, I just don't feel as if I've accomplished that much. I mean, we've probably all had days where we were really busy, but we weren't effective. You know, we were really busy all day, and then you ask yourself, scratch your head, you know, what did I really get done? And I don't really remember because I was busy being urgent all day long. And when you're able to get really clear on what your priorities are and schedule time with yourself, it is such a good feeling at the end of the week because you look over at the ability to know I got my most important things done. So I'm moving closer to the results I want. And the only way to really do that is, again, to make an appointment with yourself. So I use my Outlook calendar. I actually schedule time in my calendar for it during the week. And when I'm doing those things, so for me, a lot of the times it might be writing or working on a project, I will not let myself answer my voicemail then. I am not going to check my emails then. I'm going to just stay with that task for an hour or so and not let myself constantly be interrupted. And then it feels as if I get it done, and I feel good about getting it done. You know, otherwise, if we check emails all through the day, we're just letting ourselves get constantly interrupted all day long, which is a really common thing. And then you answer one email, and it takes you on a wild goose chase for something else, and you look back up, and it's 30 minutes later before you've gotten back to your job. So I think the key thing is to really make sure you're focused on scheduling, when are you going to get your high priority activities done, Jack, and then give yourself some flexibility in the process.
Well, Susan, that's a great suggestion that you just made to have, you know, in other words, don't be the prisoner to that email, you know, that keeps coming in at odd times. You determine when you are going to spend some time with the mail and then prioritize your day and your activities around that. That's just great advice.
Well, you know, it's interesting. I told you about some of those startling statistics about time management. This was a study that Microsoft did in 2007, so it's been a few years now. But they found that on average, it took an average person who was writing computer code or writing reports, it took them 15 minutes to go back to serious mental tasks after dealing with incoming email. And the reason is that you wander off to reply to other messages, and then you end up on the web. And you know, it's really easy for us to understand how all of that can happen. But we're just letting ourselves get interrupted when we check emails all day long. It's busy, but not necessarily that effective again.
Yeah, that's great advice. Hey, we've got an email from an old friend of Jack and ours, Barb, down in Clearwater, Florida. Hello, Barb. Good to have you writing us this morning. Barb says, and it's funny we're talking about email, she says, I feel like I'm a prisoner to email. Help!
Yeah, you can relate to what we're talking about, Barb. You know, and the thing is, we can all relate to that. It's so easy to become a prisoner to email. You know, email is a blessing and is also a curse at the same time. So here's another startling statistic about email. That organizations lose around $1,250 per user in annual productivity because of just time spent dealing with spam, so you know, it's opting out or deleting. Then they spend about $1,800 per user due to unnecessary emails from coworkers, so things that really aren't that relevant to work. And then, get this one, $2,100 to $4,100 for poorly written emails, so things that aren't clear, people don't understand, they make mistakes. So again, Barb, it's easy to understand how we can all become prisoners to email and how unproductive it can make us when we're not using it effectively. So my suggestion is, first of all, Barb, don't make yourself a prisoner. Unless you're in a service position and you've got to respond within less than a minute to each email request, don't check it instantly. And we get addicted to it. I mean, I know we all get addicted to it, but don't give your power away on that. stay very focused on what you need to do. I mean, not all the time, but when you've got your key priorities that you're working on, you know, check it when you're done. And the key thing is that when you do that, there are so many benefits that you get. You have a much greater sense of self-control. You have so much less stress because you were effective that day and accomplished your most important things. And, you know, who doesn't need that in today's day and age? You know, especially when we're so stressed and so overwhelmed with so much information, email anyway. So there are some options, Barb, and I wish you all the best with it.
You know, Susan, as you're talking about that, and Barb, thanks for dropping us that question or comment. Susan, you also have an online self-paced course that deals with email, am I right?
Right. We have an online self-paced course called Email Etiquette, and it helps people understand how, you know, what are the ins and outs of the best ways to send emails, and so that it doesn't end up costing you and your organization so much money for poorly written emails, things that are confusing, or sending improper messages. So it's a very easy to understand program that really covers the basic nuts and bolts.
And again, I assume our listeners could just go into your website, quantumlearn.com, and easily find the information there with regards to the email etiquette course.
Right.
And speaking of email, we have another email from Sarah in Washington, D.C. And Sarah asked, how long can it take to replace an old habit with a new habit that's going to serve me better as it relates to my time and priorities?
That's
skills.
A good one.
Yeah, that's a good one, Sarah. And you know what? There's good news about that. Because, first of all, a lot of time management is habits, and you don't have to be perfect. It's just focusing on those things that make the biggest difference. So let's say you wanted to just start prioritizing your three things for the week and then prioritizing your most important things for the day. Just starting those two simple things would make a huge difference, Sarah. And researchers say that it only takes about 21 days. So it's about 3 weeks. And I know that I had talked to you a little bit about the time management program that we have and how we have the reinforcement session at least 3 to 4 weeks after the first class. And the reason for it is because we know it takes about 21 days for people to really change habits. So the good news is, Sarah, it doesn't have to take that long. And if you focus on the 80-20 rule again and you do your most important things that are going to give you the best return on your effort, it's pretty easy to do.
Well, I know we're coming up on another break, but Susan, one of the things I'd like to ask you to maybe discuss a little bit when we come back after the break is maybe to help our listeners understand and, you know, what might be some of the differences between things that are urgent versus things that are important. So why don't you think about that, and we'll pick that up right after the break.
Okay, sounds great.
All righty, great.
We're always talking business.
Talk to an expert.
Call now, toll free, 866-472-5790. That's 866-472-5790. Voice America Business Network.
Len DiNocenzo and Jack Cullen are founders and principals of CRK Interactive. They started their sales training and development business in 1988, aimed at improving sales productivity for their clients. Over 20 years later, they have worked effectively with companies in a wide variety of industries and been successful in meeting that objective. Len and Jack developed their customer-focused programs that help salespeople, sales managers, and customer service reps become more effective. Over the years, happy clients have included a broad range of organizations of all sizes, from Fortune 500 companies to small and medium-sized firms. For more information, email sales at crkinteractive.com or visit them on the web at www.crkinteractive.com. Explore the possibilities to maximize your sales team's productivity. Now's the perfect time to invest in your sales team to help them compete more effectively. Let the proven sales coaches at CRK Interactive help you tap into your sales team's full potential. Send Len and Jack an email at sales at crkinteractive.com today. Your sales team and your future customers will be glad you did.
Voice America Business Network, the bottom line in business.
You're listening to Let's Talk Sales to Increase Your Income with Len and Jack. If you have a comment or question about our program, please send an email to sales@crkinteractive.com. That's sales@crkinteractive.com. Now, let's get back to Len and Jack.
And we're back, Len DiNincenzo, Jack Cullen. We're talking sales this morning, and we're specifically talking about time and priority management with our guest, Susan Cullen, president of Quantum Learning Solutions. And Susan, right before the break, I asked you to think for a little bit about maybe helping our listeners understand the difference between some of the activities that they do that are urgent versus activities that are really important. Okay, so one that comes to mind that I think all of our salespeople have to deal with, on a fairly regular basis, is when they get calls from their customers or their clients, and there's a problem. So the client might be upset. Where would you categorize something like that?
So you got an upset client, and they're calling you right then, and you know that's obviously something you've got to deal with right away. An upset client is really important. It's a really critical relationship. You want to fix that problem, and you know one of the ways that we tend to categorize the difference between what's really urgent and what's really important is in a four-factor model that helps us really identify what the differences are. So in the first quadrant, we have what we call the quadrant of crisis.
Right.
So that's highly urgent, highly important. So okay. That's going to be that upset client. That's also going to be an urgent problem you might have.
Or like a proposal that's got to be out by a certain date or time that they've got to, you know, it's got to be in the hands of the customer by then.
Right, and that proposal probably didn't start out as a crisis.
No, but it ended
close
up
to that
because
conference.
Of a lack of planning or procrastination.
Right, and then all of a sudden it's a huge crisis and you got to get it done and they end up, you know, asking everybody else to help. And also, any type of problem with, if you're a sales manager, any type of problem you're having with an employee, any critical employee problem, all of those are going to be crises. And the thing is, Len, we're never going to eliminate that quadrant. There will always be unexpected crises come up, and we have to address them. I mean, you can't. Hopefully, what we can do though is try to make that quadrant smaller.
Right.
So the way you make it smaller, although you can't eliminate it, is with what we call quadrant two, which is the quadrant of planning, preparation, and prevention.
Okay.
Now, quadrant two is how do you prevent those crises before they get too big? What can you do to anticipate them? So let's go back to the situation where you've got an upset client.
Yep.
You know, as a salesperson, could you do your part to identify what the client's real needs are and anticipate them before it becomes a problem and have your support staff or other departments that help service that account also do the same thing so that there's no miscommunication and that you've done what you can to prevent your clients being upset. I mean, that's critical for business survival, but it's also really important for salespeople.
So utilizing the resources that are available to you, which could be other team members and obviously planning and preparation here.
Right. And also, if you do a good, if your goal is to increase your sales, you know, it also is to spend some time thinking about, well, in addition to this one product that I know this client needed, what else might they be interested in?
Right.
And who else can I refer them to within our company? And what can I do to anticipate how to help them become really loyal? So those things are really important, but the challenge is they're not urgent.
Right.
You know, so this is this again goes back to everything that we've been talking about. Instead, what's urgent is the emails and the text messages and the phone ringing that take us away from saying, okay, so what else could this client really want? How else could I anticipate their needs? Where else could I refer them within our company where we might be able to offer additional services beyond, you know, what I've talked about initially?
And so if I'm listening, if I'm hearing what you just said, by compartmentalizing some of those interruptions, the emails and the messaging and so forth, by scheduling when we're going to spend our time for those, we're going to have more time to think about our clients, think about their situations, and really be in a more proactive position.
Right. And here's an interesting thing, Len. In a lot of our classes, we ask this question, which almost always falls into this quadrant two we were just talking about. We ask people, what's the one thing that you're not doing now or you could do more of that would have the greatest impact on your professional performance? What's the one thing? And people in the class, we would start then asking them to tell us, so what was your one thing? And almost always, Lynn, it falls into this quadrant two of planning, preparation, and prevention. So it's things like, if I'm a sales manager, how can I coach and develop my salespeople more? If I'm a salesperson, how can I spend the time really understanding what my clients' needs are so that when I go in and talk to them, I'm prepared to be able to offer them what's going to be the best fit for them? Or how can I spend the time, what we were just talking about, thinking about additional cross-services I can recommend? So that I'd encourage all of our listeners today to ask themselves that question. And the question, again, is what is the one thing that you're not doing now or you could do more of that would have the greatest impact on your professional performance?
Thank you.
Well, it's probably not a bad idea to ask that of their personal lives, as well. Because certainly the two have a way of overlapping. And as I was listening to you describe some of the things that, you know, fall into the category of planning and preventing and minimizing interruptions and whatnot, certainly the whole concept of training would likewise fall into that category. So if somebody, you know, wanted to explore, again, go to the quantumlearn.com website. It is something that would be important for a salesperson to do or an entrepreneur to do. It doesn't fall into the urgent category, but it's going to pay some dividends by all means.
Right.
Susan, one of the things that I know you hinted on this earlier that you talk about is the importance of a daily to-do list, but then you make some suggestions that take it more from simply, you know, making a list. Could you elaborate on that a little bit for us?
Sure. And actually, this is something I do every day that has helped me so much. A lot of people, we'll ask in our classes, how many of you plan for the week? And most people don't, probably a few. And then we ask, how many of you do a to-do list? And a lot of people will do that. But then the next question is, how many of you prioritize your daily to-do list? And the hands all drop down. And the key thing is that if you're not also prioritizing by importance, so in other words, you're not prioritizing by what am I going to do first, second, and third because it's what I like to do, but you're prioritizing according to importance, it makes a huge difference. Because then, again, you're focused on quadrant two activities. So what are those things that are going to help me achieve my results? And so people either don't prioritize their day, their daily to-do list, or they prioritize their daily to-do list with, do those things that really aren't my most important things, the busy work that I like to do instead of making sales calls, or the busy work that I like to do instead of doing those things that are, in quadrant two, like identifying what my clients' real needs are. So I think that daily to-do list and weekly, and your three things for the week are important, but they've both really got to be prioritized according to importance. It's just too easy to get distracted with all the technology we have now.
Great advice. Great advice.
It really is great advice. And I'm telling you, we're talking about time and priority management, and my, look at the time. I can't believe we're coming to the end of our time this morning, Susan. Would you do us all a favor, and would you mind just please recapping some of the most important elements that you've discussed this morning for our listeners?
Sure, I'd be happy to, Lynn. I think, the first key thing is that time management is really self-management. Mm-hmm. And we all are going to have the same amount of time. It's just how we tend to use it and how much discipline we take to manage ourselves. And that the key thing is to focus on your key priorities. It goes back to the 80-20 rule again, that 20% of your activities give you 80% of your results. So ask yourself, what are the most important things that bring you the biggest results, and spend more time on those. And then identify what your top three things for the week are, and make an appointment with yourself. And during that time, don't answer your emails or your phone or any text messages. Just stay focused on your key things when you make those appointments with yourself. And then prioritize your daily to-do list, but in order of importance. And ask, consistently throughout the day, how important is this activity now? Make sure that you give some flexibility to your schedule so you're not going to go nuts. And just keep going back to your top key priorities. And then just one last personal note. a personal bias is make sure that you're not texting and driving. With too much technology that we have today, we know that, you know, when drivers text, their collision risk is 23 times greater than when they're not texting. So stay focused on your key things. Stay safe. And people will find, I think, that their rewards are going to be well worth it. A lot less stress and a lot more done.
Thank you, Susan. That's just terrific, terrific advice. We really do appreciate it.
We do have, actually, one more last question for you, Susan, before we do some housekeeping here. Again, if someone wants to take this time mastery assessment or is interested in the time mastery online webinar type training that you do, what action should they take?
Thank you, Jack. Actually, we are going to be offering a live virtual time management class for the general public, the one like we talked about before, where people can get a time mastery profile, come to a 90-minute live virtual session, and then participate in the reinforcement session a month later. Those we do regularly throughout the year, and all they need to do is go to quantumlearn.com. That's Quantum Learn, LEARN.com.
Okay, and they can get information there about that.
Right.
We do have a special guest coming up in our show next week. That's Monday, March 29th, and that guest will be the VP of Sales at Oberthor Technology, James Suffren, a longtime friend and graduate of customer-focused selling classes that Len and I did at a couple of different companies that James participated in. And we're going to be discussing being customer-focused and not product-focused or solution-focused, really focusing on the customer with James. Len, do we have a quote for the
week? We do, Jack. Our quote of the week is coming from Andy Rooney. I'm sure everybody knows A Few Minutes with Andy Rooney. And Andy says that it seems that the less time I have to work with, the more things I get done. And I'll bet you Andy took one of your courses, Susan, way back when. Again, our thanks to Susan Cullen, President of Quantum Learning Solutions. We really do appreciate you being on the show again, Susan, and thank you so much for your good advice and tips to our listeners.
Thank you, Bill, for having me on today. I really enjoyed it.
You all take care now.
Bye.
See you next week. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Thanks again for tuning in to Let's Talk Sales to Increase Your Income with Len and Jack. We hope you picked up a tip or several to make you tops in the field of selling. Be sure to come back and join us next Monday morning at 6 a.m. Pacific Time, 9 a.m. Eastern on the Voice America Business Network. Have fun this week.